As y'all can tell, Andrew is not with us this morning. Andrew is actually out of town. He's visiting his mother. Mothers are wonderful things, aren't they? If you ever wondered about the wisdom of God, just look at a mother. I mean, God knew what he was doing when he created a mother. They're like Jesus. They love us unconditionally. They're the last ones to ever forsake us. They're always right there to pick us up. I don't know about y'all, but has your mother ever did this to you? I'm not the only one. I actually believe mother's saliva has the chemical compound of 409. I actually believe you could take rust off a bumper because she would steady. Come here. But that's mothers. That's the love that a mother has. And the point of that is today, if you have an opportunity and you have your mother still with you, take the opportunity to tell you that you love her and just how important she is to you. So last week, Andrew also talked about confessing our sins to God. And out of all of the lessons that we can learn in life, you know that it is one of the most important that we can learn. And today we're going to look at what I consider one of the other most important, and that's confessing our sins to one another. That's an ugly word, isn't it? We normally don't like that, but today we're going to look at it and we're going to kind of understand what James 5:16 is trying to tell us. The importance of this, the importance of a church family, the importance of being able to have someone pray to me that has prayers that prevail much. Okay, and that's something that I think is so very important for us as Christians to do. So this morning we're going to look at James chapter 5 verse 16. That's going to be one of the first scriptures that we look at today. James 5 verse 16. It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayers of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now when we read this, there's a part of this when we read this that is so good, that is so pleasing to us, especially the part about being healed. And there's something peaceful when we read that and when we truly see what it means. But to get to that enjoyable part, we have to go through the hard part. And for us, that would be confessing our sins to one another. Now, what out of all of our one another's, and I have a thing that I call our one another's, okay? Love one another, pray for one another, fellowship one with another. So out of all of our one another's, I think this is the one that we shy away from the most. And you know why? Because what's the first thing that comes to mind? I don't want to air my dirty laundry. You know, that's the first thing that comes to mind. And that's why we shy away from this so much. But when we look and see what it really means, it brings a whole new meaning to it. It's no one likes to publicly admit their problems. We all like to look a certain way and act a certain way, and I don't have any problems. Well, I'm sorry, I do. I have problems. I have struggles. I have issues. And without someone to pray for me and without someone to help me, I would not be where I'm at today. And so it's so very important that we have that group that can pray for us. Christians struggle to obey this verse right here more than any that you can ever think of. Like all of God's other commands, it's for our own good. It's we can't bypass the bad, what we consider bad, to get to the good. All of this comes together in one part. So let's take a look at this, and we're going to see and we're going to get a better understanding of what God wants us to get out of this. So what is God commanding us to do? The first thing he's commanding us to do is to confess, okay? And the word confess means to make an admission of a wrongdoing. And when we look at that, that actually involves three things, if you want to look at it. It involves three things. First, there's a wrongdoing. Are you struggling with anything? Is there a sin? And I think we all have that one thing that we struggle with, don't we? It's all that one thing, that cross that we bear. What I may be struggling with in life, you may look at it and go, psh. But for me, it's a problem. And what you're struggling with may not even be something, but we all struggle with something different. And we all have that struggle. So the first thing is, do we have a problem? Have we done something wrong? Is there something wrong? Okay. The second thing is we have to have a heartfelt knowledge of that. We have to realize that it's wrong and come to the understanding that this is wrong and it needs to be fixed. And the third thing we need to do is just confess it to somebody. Okay. And James is specific here. He means the church. And we're going to look at that part too. The other thing that we need to do is to confess our sins. Now, as many people know, I as outreach minister, I'm not the minister here. And the reason I say that is I don't want our visitors going away saying that church really needs a preacher. But as outreach minister, I deal with a lot of people through the prison system and through the drug rehabilitation system. And you know, one of the first things I tell them once they get out, find you a church. You're going to maybe not be in Lafayette, you from somewhere. Find you a church. Why? You need someone to hold you accountable. You need someone that's going to pray for you when you struggle. You're going to need someone to pray for you when you start to fall. You're going to need someone to help pick you up when you do fall. You're going to need someone who understands that. Amen. And that's the first thing I tell them is you have to find a church. And the other, and James is specific here because he says confess your sins. He doesn't leave it open, does he? He's just saying confess your sin. Now, most of your English transcripts say sin, but some of them say faults or transgressions. And the reason for that is the Greek manuscripts, they don't always agree on which word should be used here. Now, we could get in some long theological reason why it says transgressions or it says faults or it says sin. I could talk on that for probably 20 minutes, but it doesn't matter. You know why? Because he said confess it. Whether it's a fault, whether it's a sin, whether it's a transgression, because sin and transgression is the same thing, actually. I could get into that as well. But he's leaving nothing open. He's saying, confess it. Now, as I said, I teach in the prison systems. I do a lot of outreach, but the two main things, I guess, that I focus on is are the jail and the drug rehabilitation center. And the part we teach is called life recovery. Okay? And how many of us here remember 9/11? 9/11? Okay, and right after that happened, they polled a whole group of people, hundreds of people, and they said, what do you think we should do? Some said, well, build just one building, one big, huge building. Some said, no, we ought to build two just like the ones that was destroyed. Someone said, no, we ought to build a monument. Some of them said, no, we ought to build a park. It doesn't matter what they wanted to build, they all had the same conclusion, and what was that? Rebuild. Why? Because if something is important, it needs to be rebuilt. How important is your life? If it's broken, it needs to be rebuilt. And so we teach life recovery that they can recover their lives. And also in the prison system, I teach the ones that are there for the last 6 months to 3 months. And they're fixing to get out and restart their life. So we teach a 12-step system, okay? And the reason I'm bringing that up is it's these steps help you to recover life. The first three steps help you to realize salvation. After that, it's all maintenance to fix yourself. You know what step five says? Admit to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Is that not James 5:16? But the two key words in all of this, you know what they are? Admit. And what do you think the other one would be? Exact. Isn't that what he's saying? Admit the exact nature of our wrongs? So that's the two key words that need to stand out here. And so that's what the point that James is trying to get across. Whether it's a transgression, whether it's a sin, whether you think it's a fault, whether it's something that you're struggling with in life, we need to bring it to our brothers and sisters. Now, he doesn't say whether it has to be one person or 100 people or 1,000 people. He's just saying it needs to be to one another. Okay? And in this event, he means church. You know how I know? Because go back to James 1:1. Let's see who he's addressing here. In James 1:1, James, a servant of Jesus Christ, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greeting. Now, the point that he's trying to make, to take a long story here and make it short, what he's saying is the early Christians, the early church, Jewish Christians, these are the ones you need to talk to. In other words, the church. Is the point that he's trying to make. Why? Is the question. We know what he wants to do now. Why does he want to do it? Now James uses, and here he's using it to specify the church. He didn't give us a specific number, but he gave us and told us we need to do it to the church. So why should we confess our sins to one another? It's not going to forgive my sins. To forgive my sins, I got to confess them to who? To God. Okay? Confess my sins to God first. So why should I confess my sins to one another? It's plain and simple. He said to be what? To be healed. Well, how does it heal? How does bringing my problem to someone in the church or to the leaders of our church or to the ministers of our church or come forward and talk to my brothers to pray, how's that going to heal me? Well, that's the point that we're going to look at now. Because we see that confessing my sins to my Christian won't forgive my sins, but because it's God that we committed our sins against. David in Psalms 51 says, it's God, you the one I've sinned against. Heaven is what I've sinned against. So confessing out to our brothers and is not seeking forgiveness, it's seeking to be healed. Now, James is telling us that you know, think about it. When we bring it, why should we confess our sins to one another? The first thing is, confessing brings our sin into the light. Okay? It brings our problems into the light. And think about it. What did Andrew talk about last week? If we walk in the light, as he is in the light. So if we walk in the light and we are children of light, then what we look like on the outside is what we need to be on the inside. We need to be transparent, don't we? We need to be transparent. So that's why we come and we bring it, that's part of the healing process. Look at Ephesians 5. I think Ephesians 5 will help us to understand this part right here. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of what? Light. For the fruits of the light consist of all goodness, righteousness, and what? Truth. To be transparent, what I am in here is what I need to be out there. You know, one of the persons that when I first truly decided, okay, it's time to be a Christian, and I'm tired of this one foot in, one foot out, I'm sick of this. You know, and I made the true commitment to be a follower and a child of God. The person that I guess that mentored me, I guess, to help me understand, he was a person that if you've seen him at Walmart or you've seen him here, it's the same person. There was no difference. How he acted here is how he acted there. You could go to his house, that's how he was. You could go to his work, that's how he was. That was him. And that helped me to realize that, you know, when I bring this into the light, I'm being transparent. You know, it's being shown. Now, you ever notice the power and the temptations of sin is always stronger in darkness? And that's why they call it darkness. Because this definition of darkness is the absence of light, isn't it? So it's always seems to be stronger when it's in darkness. So, and a lot of times, you know, we don't see how foolish our transgressions are until we actually speak them. You know, when you say how it is, you think, man, that's really out there. That's really silly. It's really not right. So when we do it, it helps to bring that. The power of sin is always stronger when it's in secret. You know, think about it. It's always that problem that when it's in secret, that it's just a burden, isn't it? And you know, God doesn't want us to have burdens. That's why he told us confess your sins quickly. Or if you have a problem, go and do it when? Quickly. Because he knows the longer it stays, the sicker you become. It's like a cancer just eats you from the inside out. You'll never be productive in anything that we do. You know, I read an article as I was preparing this lesson. I read a bunch of articles on you know, how confessing to your brothers or having a brother and sister pray for you. And I came across a story that I want to take the time to share with you. It was in 1971, I think it was, in Boston, Massachusetts, there was a bank robbery. It was three people, two men and a lady. And I think they stole like over $300,000, and they actually got away with it. They never was caught. Time passed, and it's like it kind of got forgotten about because they never found out who did it. Well, 9 years later, a lady walked into the Boston Police Department and said, I'm one of the ones that was in the bank robbery at First National Bank. And they laughed at her. They're like, what bank robbery? There was no bank robbery on. She said, yes, 9 years ago there was a bank. And they thought she was crazy. And they just ignored her. And they like, yeah, you know, they thought she wanted attention. But she told them the exact events that happened and everything. And she was actually one of them. And many people told her, said, you're such a fool. You got away with hundreds of thousands of dollars for 9 years, and it's like they never knew. Why would you come and confess this and admit this? She said, I haven't slept a decent night in 9 years. She said, the secret of this is just destroying me. And she said, I'm at the point to where I want to get my life right. And the only way I can do that is bring it into the light and to make this known, where I can have that inner peace as well as the outer peace. And I don't know what happened. They never said what happened. I'm sure she's got arrested or whatever they did. But the moral of it was when that sins or when our problems or transgressions are in secret, they're always stronger, is it? That temptation is always there. You know, guilt and shame is not a tool of God. You know, it's something that needs to actually be dealt with. Sometimes when we put sin out on the table, it just withers, doesn't it? Sin withers in the light. It doesn't grow while it's in the light. Things only get gloomy at night. And the second thing we need to do is when we confess, it allows our brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for you. Is that why the command is in the middle of it? What is the middle part? Pray for one another. It allows our brothers and sisters to pray for it. They can't pray for us if they don't know what the problem is. You know, and I see many people that I deal with through the recovery process, and you'll see them a few days after, and boy, they GQ. I mean, they got it going on, but you look in their eyes, and it's like the duck's feet under the water, you know, going 100 miles an hour when on the surface it's smooth. You know, and they're like, how you doing? They said, I'm fine. I said, no, you're not. You're lying. You're struggling right now. You're struggling. And it's amazing how we try to make ourselves pretend that everything's okay when it's not. And that's why he's saying we have to bring it into the light. It withers when it's in the light. When I have someone whose prayers prevail much that is praying for me, why would you not want that? Why would you not want that? You know, because we don't. We're thinking, oh, I'm airing my dirty laundry. Not here. Not here. That's why he said, confess it to your brothers and sisters. He didn't say it could be just one. It could be 10, could be 20. But it's something that we are told to do. The brothers and sisters, like I say, can't pray for you if they don't know what it is. You know, like, if not for my brothers and sisters praying for me, I don't know where I would be today. I'll be honest with you. It's their prayers that helped me to heal. Of course, God forgave me, Jesus' blood. Yes, we know all of that. But it's their prayers that helped me overcome the struggles in my life. And the things that I struggle with today, I have people I go to and we pray. I'd love to stand up here and say, hey, everything's good, but I'd be what we talked about last week. If you admit you have no sins, then you're a liar. You know, and I don't want to be a liar because I'm not. We all struggle. We have those struggles. But the saving grace is all this. We have each other that we can come to and pray for these things. So why do we confess our sins to one another? Confession and forgiveness among brothers and sisters in Christ cultivates honesty. It cultivates purity. And it cultivates unity in what the church is meant to be. Think about it. It cultivates honesty. It cultivates purity. And that's how the church is supposed to be, isn't it? When I'm hurt and when I'm wounded, shouldn't we have a place of refuge? Shouldn't we have people to help us when we do all of this? So when we read confess your sins to one another, we think, oh, no. But no, it's meant to be a good healing process. And that's what he says. The last part that we fail to look at is healing. You know? And that's how, when I teach life recovery, that's how we heal. That's in step five is when you start to teach them to heal. The first three, four steps, you know, you're teaching them that they need a Savior. Then after that, you tell them that we need to heal from this. How do we heal from the damages is admit to God, yourself, and another human being the exact nature of your own. Look at Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And if we have a brother and sister or a sister that comes to us, and if we're not forgiving, if we're not compassionate, if we're not kind, then we need to be the second person in line. We need to be the other one that comes and needs to be healed. The third thing, the other thing, the reason why we need to confess our sins to one another is because of our prayer life. You know, that one thing we struggle with, you know how it can hinder your prayer life? I have people come to me at times and they say, I don't think God's hearing my prayer. I really don't think God is hearing me. And you know what my first response to them is? Do you have an unrepented sin? Do you think maybe that's hindering your prayer life? You think maybe that's hindering your relationship with God? Let's get it out and open. Let's pray. Let's repent it. Let's be forgiven. Let's heal from it and move on. And you'll see it's like a burden has been lifted there. They'll tell me weeks later, you know, I know God's hearing my prayers. You know, so it's healing, isn't it? Is that not a part of healing? Yes, it is. A very important part of healing. And when we heal, it to heal is also to be restored. Okay? Now, the word restore, it means to repair or to renew something, to be restored. And if we have been broken and we are Christians that have fallen and we have something that hinders our life, we need to be restored spiritually, don't we? We need to be brought back spiritually. Okay? Now, and sometimes there are so many things in life that hinders us and that we need to be restored from. But we have to remember, as children of God, He has put us in authority of everything that He created. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1. And I use this in my recovery effort to help people understand that, you know, to be restored, you just have to ask God to give it back. You know, and for example, if something is foreign to your body, and if you ingest it, it does what? It rejects it. If something's foreign spiritually and you bring it, what? Its spirit is conflict, and so it rejects it. So what we have to do is, God, give me back something that's spiritually. Look in Genesis 1:28. We'll start in 28. God blessed them and said, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds and over every living creature that moves along the ground. And God said, I gave you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit and seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that He had made, and it was very good, and there was evening and morning in the first day. Now let's look at Psalms 8. Psalms 8, verses 4 through 9. It says, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all the flocks, herds, and the animals of the wild, the birds of the sky, the fish of the sea, and all swim along the path. Lord, your Lord, how majestic is your name. Now, and I tell them, I'll say, okay, God gave us authority over everything He created, but yet you let a leaf tell you what to do. What's marijuana? It's a leaf. God gave you authority, but you let a leaf control your life. You need to be restored. And that is saying, God, you give me back what is intended for me to have. So as children of God, we're being restored. We say, God, give me back spiritually what is intended for me to have. Will your soul accept it? Yeah, because it's not foreign to it, is it? So we let things come. What we do is we let things come and control our lives that should never control it. We let things come and hinder us that are simple that should never hinder us. Well, what do? We got each other to pray and bring us back. Because the prayers of each one of my brothers and sisters is powerful and effective. And each one of their prayers can lift me up. Each one of their prayers can break that chain that hinders my spiritual growth. That simple thing that has driven me away from Christ, that can break that chain and bring me back and restore me spiritually. That's healing. So that's why we come and we can look at it and say, oh, that sounds bad, but it's not. What we do is we come and we tell, we're going to put it another way. We can come and tell our brothers and sisters what our problems are, and they can pray for us, and it will put us on the path of healing. Sounds a little better. But James is not that way. If you ever read the book of James, he's straight to the point. He says either do it or don't. You know, he's not going to play around, make it sound pretty to where he's saying you need to exactly nature of your wrongs. Now, so many times, like I say, so many times we have those things that hinder our life. You know, this morning, we don't have to allow that to continue. That's why he gave us this verse. You know, when we confessed our sins to God, as they talked about last week, and as children of God, we walk in that light. So this morning, we may have burdens, but there's no reason why we can't pray for your burdens. There's no reason why we can't help to heal you and restore you spiritually. There's no reason for that. There's no reason we should leave here different on the inside than we are on the outside. There's no reason. And James, that's what James is saying there. This morning can be the morning of healing. That's why a lot of people say church is a hospital for the sick. God, this is where we come and say, pray for me. And anybody that would look down on you, like I said, they need to be the second one in line. Because they need prayers as well. So this morning, if we have that struggle, if we have that need, you can come. The invitation's open. You can come and we can lay hands on you and we can pray for you. And we can help to restore you. So if you have a need this morning, come. As Brett will lead us in a song of invitation, the opportunity is yours to come as we stand and as we sing.